Hey fam, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. And if you are looking for some good sermons and words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and subscribe, like, comment, and share. That way you are up to date on all our latest content. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
How many loves Christmas movies? Not Hallmark movies. I won't even say it. Bobby loves Hallmark movies, but I can tell you how a Hallmark movie is going to start, how it's going to go to the middle, how every single one of small town girl goes into a town and marries the doctor, and they're all the same. But I like the real Christmas movies. How many like Christmas Vacation? Die Hard, that's not a Christmas movie. Oh, come on. Christmas Vacation is one of my favorite stories, and I love the Grinch with the Jim Carrey Grinch one. I mean, come on. And Elf. Elf is so stupid, it's funny. So this morning, I'm going to be preaching about three or four different messages. I know we've been here a little. We had some technical difficulties to start out. We've been here a little while, but I'm going to be preaching about three or four different messages today. So we will get out of here about 1:30 or 2. No, I'm just kidding. But the title of this message is Finding Purpose and Identity. Joy comes by knowing whose you are. Buddy realized he didn't really know who he was. And in the culture we live in today, who am I is a big question. It's a question for many people right now. They're having we have an identity crisis that's going on in not just in America, but in this world right now. But 1 Corinthians says this. Why do we have one? But it says this, 14:33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the states, of the saints. Sorry, I'm a little medicated this morning. We have a group of kids right now that are searching and trying to find out who they are. There's little parental guidance to identify with our kids too. There's a lot of broken homes right now. There's a lot of adjustment to divorce or feeling abandonment. And you know what? Because the world we live in too much, we're trying to keep up and it's so expensive. We have moms and dads that are both having to work, and it leaves the kids home alone a lot for their own. If you leave your kids home alone, you might end up being in the movie Home Alone. But we have a lot of times that we've left our kids there because to fend for themselves. We used to have at Refuge, they called them latchkey kids, and they would get off of school, and they told us that from the time they got off of school, they would smoke pot, they would do all of the things because their parents, they'd do that before their parents got home. But we're influenced by movies, we're influenced by gaming. You know, there's some benefits to gaming, but I will tell you this, Mike, violent games can lead to anger, can lead to anxiety, can lead to other psychological problems. And excessive gaming also affects their social life, leading to isolation, hurting their social and emotional. Come on, we walk around with our phones in our hands and our tablets, and we first thing we do is, and I'm not down on it. You know, if a kid's screaming, sometimes we got to throw a phone. I've seen three-year-olds know how to run a phone better than I do. But so many times we can be influenced by the things around us. And the world is telling them they can be anything they want to be, and that sounds good. They could be any gender, or they could be no gender at all. And it's causing a lot of confusion. It's causing a lot of, they really feel like they don't fit in this world anymore. And here's the thing. Some kids are even thinking, God must have made a mistake with me. We have an identity crisis. But we as parents and as Christians, we need to step in, and we need to rewrite the story that's being fed to our children. Because if we don't rewrite the story, they're going to believe what they hear out there. Can I get an amen on that? Come on, we got to instill in our children Christian values from the time that they can speak, from the time that they can walk, from the time that they need to know whose they are in Christ Jesus. We got young adults. Oh, man, I'm just trying to find myself. Did y'all ever do that? Trying to find the aimless and struggling to find a real direction in life right now. The average years of college that they go to is 6 years, 6+ years. I am that person right there with no degree. I won't even tell you about my college experience, but it was bad. But we're struggling to find ourselves. And I remember saying to my mom, you know, when I get 18, hey, my mom said, she'd say, listen, when you get ready to leave, I will pack every bag in this house, and I'll carry it. We had a bridge and a little creek across. She said, I'll carry it across the bridge already for you, and I'll help you load it in your, wait a minute, I'm not even going to help you load it in your car because that's my car. 21 does not give you all of the answers. 18 does not give you all of the answers. And you're going to, if you have young kids, you're going to find out one of these days, they're going to kind of start bucking the system when they get that age. And then we have, what do you want to be when you grow up? Well, I want to tell you that we can't live in the basement till we're 35. There are things that you have to do to make progress in your life. And then we have adults going through midlife crisis. You know, they feel like they missed out on something. And they try to hide their poor choices when they were young. They buy things that they don't can't afford to make them feel better. And they try to fill it all with a big house. And listen, I'm not against having a house and having some money. Come on, somebody throw a 20 at me. But they try to fill it with money and a house and happiness and position. But not knowing who you are creates labels. It creates depression. It creates anger and worthlessness and rejection and even suicidal thoughts. Once you name it, it's hard to get rid of it. Once you name it, once you've called it something, it sticks to you pretty hard. I love labels right here. I love them, the name tags. But once you stick it to your heart, once you stick it to your mind, you have a hard way of getting over to it. False identity comes from insecurity. It comes from I am what I do. I am who or what others say that I am. And I am what I have. That's where a lot of insecurities come from right there. I've got to do something to get God to love me. I've got to act better. I've got to do better. But can I tell you that God affirmed Jesus before he ever did a miracle? He affirmed him as his son before he ever performed anything, or before he ever died on the cross. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He didn't wait. He ain't waiting till you have it all together. Because listen, if you're trying to get it all together without his help, you're going to keep trying and you're going to keep trying. You're going to keep going and going. But when you put him in the equation, things happen. We need to move forward out of that place of love and acceptance and not in pursuit of it. We have to reaffirm ourselves every day. God really does love me. Sometimes you just got to get up inside of yourself and you have to look in the mirror and say, God loves me. I am chosen. I am his child. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. We find our identity not in labels, but in Jesus. Look at 1 John 5:5. Who, here's identity, is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Finding your true identity is believing, confessing, and accepting, and it makes you identify with Jesus. What happens when that happens? It doesn't matter who you've been. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what you've been labeled. It's whose you are. You have a new identity in Christ. Listen, John 16:33 says this. These things I have spoken to you, that in me, there's a position there, you may have peace. In the world will you have tribulations. It's going to be hard. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. This morning, I want to tell you who you are and who you can be in Christ. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. The King James calls us peculiar. I've been called that a few times. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The very first word there is chosen. You've been selected. You've been handpicked. You've been picked as the best. God chose his best so that we could be chosen. We're not chosen by our gender. We're not chosen by our race. We're not chosen by our social status. But we're chosen by the blood of Jesus Christ that shed on the cross for us. There is no other way than... There's no other way but through Jesus. Verse 9 says, we're a royal priesthood. Having the status... Come on. Somehow we need to change our status. Not on social media. We need to change our status in our life. We're seated. Your royal blood is flowing through your vine. You're seated in heavenly places with God. So many times we walk around, we feel defeated, and we don't know which way we're going. We need to tell each other, we need to remind each other, remind ourselves that we are a child of the Most High God. When you walk into the room, royalty walks in with you. You are a citizen in heaven. You've established, you're set in place. You're no longer aimless, and you're no longer an orphan. Romans 8:16. For the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We can stop right there and drop the mic. We are a child of God. If you accepted Jesus in your heart, you are a child of the King. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Verse 9 says we're his own. That means we're special. We're peculiar. We're distinct. We're different. We're standing out. We're not normal. Normal is boring. Is normal boring? My wife says, yes, normal is very boring. God has separated us from the rest and claimed us as his own. He's put his stamp of approval on you. Whatever you've been stamped with, whatever you've been labeled with, whatever that has been spoken over you, God has reversed that and he put his own stamp on you. Buddy realized he was human. Buddy realized he was different. He realized that some of us in this world, we're finding out we just don't fit anymore. Our language ain't the same as it used to be, or it better not be anyway. The Bible says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be in the world, but not of the world. You're no longer comfortable with your language. You're no longer comfortable with the people you hung around with. You're no longer comfortable with the places that you used to go, because God has changed your heart and he's put a stamp on you. He's sealed you now. Now when you walk into that place and you don't feel comfortable there anymore like you used to be. You used to think, well, something's a little bit different. When somebody's talking, I used to have a pretty foul mouth. But now when somebody has a really foul mouth, it just irks me. It really irks me. I can't handle that no more. I just no longer fit into that kind of culture anymore. But joy comes by not listening to the lies. There is a cover-up out there. Things are not always what they seem to be. The enemy is always disguising himself. Look what Matthew 7:15 says. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. The Bible says he comes as an angel of light, and the word says he's a father of lies and the truth is not in him. What he's trying to do is he's trying to steal your gifts and he's trying to steal your identity and he's trying to make you feel like a misfit. Let's put Rudolph up there. Isn't that cute? But look what 1 Corinthians says. Take a good look, friends, at who you were when you got called into this life. I don't see many of you being the brightest or the best. Many of you among you are not influential, not many from high society families. Isn't it obviously that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks and exploits and abuses, chose the nobodies to expose the hollow pretenses of the somebodies? Misfits, different is not always bad. God can use anyone who is willing to be used. Look at Moses. Moses was a stutterer, and he used him to go in to speak to Pharaoh. Look at David. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer, but he said he was a man after God's own heart. Look at Jacob, who later would be named Israel. He was the deceiver. Paul was against the church. He was killing me, and he ended up being the second, writing 2/3 of New Testament. Peter was a fisherman, loudmouth, kind of like me a little bit. But I really love Mary. She was chosen. She was a teenage girl, chosen for the biggest assignment that you could possibly be. And she would not be one of those people you would pick. Your limitations are God's chance to shine. You know why it is? Because then you can't boast in yourself. If you had it all together, if you had all the talent, you would be doing it in you. But God said he wants to use the people that are kind of like you and me. He wants to use the misfits of the world right now so that people will start listening. He used to be drug addicted, but now he's not drug addicted. He used to be this or he used to be that, and now he's not that way. He's coming to church every Sunday. Listen, what you do matters, where you go matters, and how God can use you. Your story is not over with. And then there's the Grinch. Things in our childhood can make us bitter. Y'all remember what they did to the Grinch? Treated him bad. They made fun of him all the time, and it made him bitter and angry and hurt, and it could last a long time. It lasted all the way up into his adulthood. Romans 11:29 says, the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. But the enemy is always trying to steal your gifts. He uses discouragement. He uses shame. And listen, not using your gift is allowing the enemy to steal your gift. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Timothy. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands by eldership. Here Paul is talking to a young Timothy who's going to be starting to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's looking at him and says, don't let anyone ever tell you that you can't do something because you're young. You saw some of these interns up here. Don't despise what God wants to do with this younger generation. Don't despise of what you look off over in the side of the church over here every Sunday, because this time last year, there wasn't nothing over on this side wall. Now, right now, I see a whole room full of world changers. I see a room full of teachers and evangelists and revivalists. And you might be looking and saying, that me? Us? Listen, I'm not just talking about young people, because us seasoned people, we have a place in the kingdom. We have a place to go forward and to do what God's called us to do. So I'm telling you, we're all in this thing together, and we have to start working together as a unit. But you might say, I'm too young, or I'm uneducated, and I'm shy. Look at the transformation in Zach. Shy, maybe shy or backwards, but I don't have it all together. How many in here has got it all together right now? Oh, I don't have to have an altar call then. We're good. All of you have gifts, and not using your gifts is allowing the enemy to steal them. I meant to have a present up here. I don't have one. But you get a present. Oh, that thing's wrapped so nicely, and I like that. But then you take this present, not like a kid. You don't tear it all to pieces. You set it down, and you never open it. Why do you never open that gift? Because you've allowed fear to come in. You've allowed guilt to come in. You've allowed condemnation and failure to come in. And you set that gift off to the side, and you never unwrap it. You never look at it again. And God said, I just wish you would open it up, because there's so much more that I have for you. You got to quit letting the enemy tell you lies. You got to quit letting the enemy tell you that you're not talented or you're not gifted, because every single person in this place that I'm looking at has a gift and a talent that can be used for the kingdom. Open your gift. Come on, that's a word for somebody. Somebody is sitting in here today that you've been sitting on something for so long, and you think, man, it's dormant, it's dead, I'm never going to do that. No, God says, it's about time to open our gifts in the lived. Oh, you got to open it. And if you neglect it, potential requires actions. You don't get to be Michael Jordan never playing basketball. You don't get to be a good musician by never picking up your instrument. Sometimes it takes the hard work. I'm sure Michael had to dribble it off his foot a few times before he could ever dunk on anybody. I'm sure that these musicians had to fumble through, and their fingers were hurting, right, Elijah? They had to do that to learn how to play these guitars. It takes using your potential and putting it to work. All of you have gifts, not just talent. And Proverbs 18:16 says, a man's gifts makes room for him and brings him before great men. You have a gift, and you may not know it. You may have the gift of encouragement. It don't take much to learn how to smile at people. Come on, Grinches. I like to smile when I go somewhere. I like to be encouraging when I go somewhere. Those things are not really, they're not hard for me. Maybe they're hard for other people, but there are things that you can do, smiling and caring for someone, going that extra mile. There's things that we can do that we just don't put into practice. Joy comes by knowing Jesus. Buddy says, I know him. It's me, buddy. I know him. But when you've been with the real Jesus, there is no other substitute. Once you've tasted and seen what the Lord has done, you'll never be satisfied with anything else. I do not like any kind of mayonnaise except for Hellman's mayonnaise. I ain't eating no other peanut butter besides Jif. There is a difference between Walmart brand. There is a difference between the rest of those things. You can't tell me otherwise. I have seen the light, and Hellman's is the light. But Buddy, he saw through the fake. He saw through, he had discernment. And so many times we try to fill it with substances, we try to fill it with money, we try to fill it with careers and relationships, but these will all leave you empty. The relationship with Jesus is the only way you'll ever be satisfied in your life. Come on, once you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, you will never be satisfied with anything else. I encourage you to pursue this relationship with Jesus harder than Ralphie did that Daisy Red Ryder BB gun. Sometimes the things we pursue, we have to make sure they're the right things to pursue. We got to make sure that they're the healthy things to pursue. Romans 14, 19 says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Sometimes the things we are pursuing can become an obsession. They can become so much that we want all the material things and we want our career to go to the next level and we want our relationships and even comparison. But the words in 1 Timothy says this, but you, Timothy, are a man of God. So run from all these things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Pursue the things that will last and don't pursue being someone that you're not. Show the next clip. Today, you are you. That is truer than true. There is no one alive who's youer than you. Joy comes by being you. Psalms 139:14. I'm going to read it in two different translations. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made. Listen to the message. I love this one. Oh, yes, you shaped me. You shaped Silas in my womb. You shaped me inside and out. You formed me in my mother's womb. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit, how I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread before you. The days of my life all prepared before I'd lived even one day. Somebody today just needs to know that you are a one of a kind. Your DNA is not like anybody else. Your hair follicles, if you had it, are not like anybody else. Your fingerprints are different than anyone else. God knows you specifically. It might scare you a little bit. But he knows everything about you. He wants to erase the images of who you think you are. And Jesus wants you to know him. This morning, if you all stand with me, please. Today, maybe you came in here today and you're feeling like, maybe you're feeling like a little bit like a misfit. Maybe like Rudolph and the toys that were on that island. Maybe you're searching for a place to fit in and you just don't know where you fit. There is a place for you, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter what circumstances of life have hit you, there's a place at the Father's house for you. There's a place in the Father's family. And maybe you've not ever accepted Jesus or listen, the greatest gift you can give Jesus would be your heart. The greatest gift you could give him would be you. I'm talking about a full on you. And maybe you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior. And this morning, you want to start out this season a little different. I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me, but I'm going to ask you not just to repeat a prayer. I'm going to ask you to really believe the prayer that you're praying. Sometimes we get so caught up in life and we're running in 15 different directions that we lose sight that we may not know exactly what Jesus' birthday was, but we lose sight of who he is the rest of the season. So many times we give God our best during this Christmas holidays and at the time of his birth or when it were us, but so many times we neglect him the other months out of the year. I think God wants the gift of us 12 months out of the year, 24/7, all the time. So if you would, just bow your heads with me and say, Father, I come to you today and I confess that I've sinned. I confess that I've fallen short. I confess I've even neglected you. Please forgive me. Make me new. Let me hear your voice again. The sweet voice I used to hear. Show me what you want me to do and help me to do what you've asked me to already do. Father, I believe that you're the Son of God. Jesus, I accept you in my heart and I accept you today as my Savior. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, you would, text the number, text SAVED to 502-237-1234. And what that's going to do is that's going to give your next steps and what you can do. And then you can stop by the info bar for more information too. But maybe you're here today and you feel like the enemy has stolen something from you. Maybe you're here today and those things that used to, we can't allow the enemy to keep taking what's not his. And so many times he doesn't really have to work hard taking it because we present it to him a lot of times. We give it over to him ourselves. This morning, as they sing this next song, the prayer team is going to be up on the left and the right if you want to pray with somebody. But I'm going to ask you to come at this altar and just say, God, I do not want to give the enemy any more foothold in my life in this year. I don't want to give him any more room to move in my life. And God, I want to accept all the gifts that you've given to me. I want to open up my heart to you today. God wants to release something in the house this morning. He wants to release something. Maybe he needs to release you and you need to release yourself. Maybe there's some unforgiveness that needs to be released in this house. But God wants to do that this morning. Will you allow him?
Thank you so much for joining us today. To find out more information about what we're all about here, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you. We're praying for you, and we'll see you next week.